Well, today's Holy Gospel brings us the account of two people, two of Jesus' followers. They're not apostles, they're disciples, followers, who were walking a 7-mile journey to the village of Emmaus. These two people were trying to process the events that took place the last 3 days, and especially earlier that day in Jerusalem, as well as the arrest, crucifixion, and death of Jesus. An interesting point of discussion regarding this scripture from Luke is it does not say that these were two men. Read it carefully, and I went and pored over a dozen different translations, and they all say the two of them were going to a village called Emmaus. The original Greek says that it was 60 stadia, or 11 kilometers, more like 7 miles from Jerusalem. What makes this interesting is that we know for sure that one of these was a man, and his name was Cleopas, or Cleophas, and he was making this journey. So who is the other person? I know you're dying to find out. Me too. Some people have said that this could have been Luke. But our Wednesday night crew knows that Luke, in the book of Acts, always left little clues. When he was present, it was always we or us. There's no we or us in this 24th chapter of Luke. Others have thought that this person was Cleopas' wife, Mary, who was at the crucifixion with Jesus' mother, Mary, Mary Magdalene, and John the Apostle. Listen to John chapter 19, verse 25. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. The wife of Cleopas may well have been Mary, the wife of Clopas. And if so, I want you to know that this scripture, interpreted that way, has been a great encouragement to couples who have found the story a wonderful focus for bringing their lives together, bringing their problems and their questions before Jesus. I want to suggest to you that, like the fruit in the Garden of Eden, and any older youngsters that are here know that when I have taught, when we did our children's chapel, I always drove home the point that we don't know what kind of fruit. You can read scripture and it just says the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It doesn't tell us whether it was a kumquat, a banana, an apple. People have made that deduction on their own. And I also want to suggest to you that it's just like we hear about Joseph's amazing technicolor dream coat. Check the scriptures. In Genesis it says it was an ornate coat. But people have filled in between the lines. I guess the point that I wanted to make is that if God wanted us to know the details, he would have told us who this other person was. God's really good at details. And they're important. Who accompanied Cleopas that day? It's not important. And so we move on. But it needs to be raised up. Especially if you're a married couple that can use the encouragement of knowing that this couple, whoever they were walking with Jesus and learned from them tremendously. And so that day on the road to Emmaus, along comes a stranger who immediately asks them what they're discussing. That's making them look so downcast. They tell him that they had regarded Jesus of Nazareth as a prophet, and more than a prophet. God's power had been present with him in his miracles and his teaching, and they couldn't doubt that this was the man of God's choice, the anointed one. The chief priests and the rulers of the temple handed him over to die on a cross, a humiliating, terrible death. He was the one who was supposed to redeem Israel, and it's only been 3 days. These two followers were devastated. It wasn't just that Jesus had been the bearer of their hopes and dreams, and he was now dead and gone. It was much more than that. If Jesus had been the one to redeem Israel, he should have been defeating the pagans who were oppressing and holding them down and not dying at their hands. The whole story from Genesis to the prophets pointed forward to a fulfillment which could only be found when God's anointed one took on Israel's suffering and the world's suffering as well, onto himself, died under its own weight, and then rose again as the beginning of God's new creation, God's new people, God's new covenant. This is what had to happen. And now it just had. They still couldn't recognize him. I want to suggest to you that Jesus' body emerging from the tomb had been transformed. It was the same, yet it was different. The very fact that they couldn't recognize Jesus at first goes hand in hand with the fact that they couldn't recognize the events that had just happened as the story of God's redemption. I believe that we can only know Jesus, can only truly recognize him when we learn to see him within the whole true story of God. I like to remind people that it's called his story. His story, history. True story of God, Israel, and the world. But to do that, we need to learn how to read the scriptures. And for that, we need as our teacher, the risen Lord himself. This passage forms one of the most powerful encouragements to pray for his presence, a sense of guidance whenever we study the Bible, individually, in pairs, or in small groups, or even in larger groups, like on Wednesday nights. We need to be prepared for him to rebuke our foolish and faithless readings and to listen for his fresh interpretation on our hearts. Only with him at our side will our hearts burn from within. Verse 32 said so. And lead us to the point where we see him face to face. Scripture tells us, this story tells us, Jesus opened their minds to him in the scriptures and how they all point to Jesus as the fulfillment of God's promises. Well, I need to share with you a personal testimony and how it changed my life and my relationship with Jesus. I've shared with many of you right from the beginning, being here at St. Andrew's, of my healing in the River Jordan and my calling to the ordained ministry. But this is before that. I grew up in a wonderful family that was Roman Catholic. And my parents wanted us, me and my three sisters, to grow up as good people who love Jesus. And they did a good job, I think. I have always loved Jesus with all my heart, but I did not know him. Jesus was always in my life, but he was like a beautiful statue, visible but at a great distance. Marilyn and I decided shortly after moving to Jacksonville in 1994 to come together to what was then the Episcopal Church of the Redeemer. We really loved the congregation, the people, and the rector, who, as many of you know, is now our bishop, Bishop Neil LaBarre. We really felt at home from that very first Sunday when we received communion for the first time in 18 years of married life. Marilyn had been Presbyterian, I was Roman Catholic. The two didn't mix as far as communion. But that Sunday, we went up with our two kids, knelt at the altar rail, and went back in tears, knowing that we were home, that a door had been opened for us in our lives. I wanted to learn, so did Marilyn, and to serve Jesus, the body of Christ, but I still didn't truly know Jesus. Two friends of ours from that parish, Paul and Callie Head, invited us to go on a renewal weekend from Thursday to Sunday. but we were not allowed to go together. It was a men's weekend, and then I would come home and Marilyn would go the following week with all the women. Paul and Callie would be our sponsors, and they even paid for us to go. And then they drove each one of us separately on our weekends out to Camp Weed in Live Oak, Florida, after treating us to dinner. This was an experience like none other I've ever had. And I started missing Marilyn and our kids, especially when they took our watches away and cell phones. No communication with the outside world. What was I getting into? But it was an amazing time of fellowship like I'd never received before. I'd never experienced. Lots of singing, lots of surprises. But I was still at a distance. Somewhere on Saturday, I had an experience after one of the talks that I can only describe as life-changing. After the talk, we all went into the chapel. And there while praying, it was as if Jesus was suddenly standing right in front of me, face to face. And he said to me very clearly, "What took so long?" I felt so very different. And I think I went through a box of Kleenex with tears of joy, relief, and blessing. Whatever barriers I had built up were instantly gone as I recognized Jesus as my Lord and Savior, personally. And it's a funny thing that I haven't often shared with people, but in 1999, after the healing in the River Jordan, when I was blessed to run up out of the water, after limping before that, running up the steps, proclaiming that I had been healed. 2 days after that, while sitting with two other people at the lower waterfall at En Gedi, right after the Lord called my name and then called me to the priesthood, telling me you must do this in grateful obedience, when I rushed to tell Marilyn and the kids, the first words out of Marilyn's mouth were, "Are you ready for this? What took so long?" And to this day, you can ask her. She doesn't know why she said that. But it was an incredible affirmation for me, having heard those exact words once before. I knew it was real, and it was non-negotiable. That weekend experience is called Curcio. There are weekends from other denominations that are very similar, Tres Dias and Walk to Emmaus. I find it kind of ironic that during that walk on that first Easter Sunday, when Cleopas and companion met Jesus, only recognizing him when he broke the bread with them, that renewal comes to others in the same way on such weekends retreats as Curcio and Walk to Emmaus. The significance to me is so very real that when we take the opportunity to shut the outside world out and take time to truly talk to Jesus, then we can truly recognize him, giving him ourselves and our lives. You don't have to go on a 4-day weekend, but if you just take some time, stop talking and start listening, you'd be amazed at what Jesus has to say. Now, I do know that many people in our parish have been to Curcio or weekends just like it. And I would love to see our church family become involved having an Altreia, which is a reunion here at St. Andrew's, singing songs, sharing experience of the Lord working in our lives, and breaking bread together. And so, my dear friends, give Jesus your heart. And then bring him your problems, your agony, your struggles, just as on the road to Emmaus with Cleopas and his companion. Be prepared to share it in prayer with the blessed one who approaches. For them, it was a stranger. Learn to listen for his voice, explaining his word, leading forward, and warming your heart by applying Holy Scripture to what's going on in your life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.